As Till spoke, he raised one hand and began a silent five-finger countdown. Maudie made a quick mental list of the points she needed to cover in her introduction, keeping in mind that her feed was arriving at the Perry Needmo studio at the beginning of their workday, about 6 hours before they were scheduled to go on air. By now, a vid image of the situation in Big Circle was already streaming onto the control room, where a startled production assistant would be rushing to bring it up on a monitor and confirm that the automatic recording equipment was capturing the transmission. Next, he would feed the transmission into the studio's internal network and bring it to the attention of Perry Needmo and the senior production staff, who would decide whether to relay the report to the network immediately or save it for their own broadcast. Given the likelihood of the situation erupting into mass violence, Maudie was betting they would pass it into the network immediately, which meant her report would need to mention the Perry Needmo NewsHour prominently and often, if she wanted to keep her employers happy. Till's last finger folded down into his palm, and Maudie began to speak in a hushed, urgent voice.
This is Maudie Vont on assignment for the Perry Needmo NewsHour on Bladu Sextis in the Regulan system, an insignificant mining world on the galactic edge where the hands of power operate beyond the umbrella of Alliance law. The field below is Big Circle of Fun, an Octusi sporting arena in the capital city of Arari. As you can see, a mechanized company of Mandalorian infantry has surrounded a gathering of Octusi slaves preparing to begin a protest march through the downtown area. Although this will be the 13th such march in as many days, the Mandalorian company is a remarkable show of force. The Octusi are a pacifist species, whose demonstrations have been marked by their gentleness and good order. It appears, however, that their Blaudun masters may be growing weary of the inconveniences caused by the daily marches. Yesterday, a group of Mandalorian mercenaries hired to put down the revolt opened fire on the front of the march, killing 15 Noctusi, wounding more than 50, and causing a stampede that resulted in the first significant property damage of the revolt. Determined to avoid a repeat of the aggravation, today the Mandalorian mercenaries have trapped the Octusi in their staging area, surrounding them with light armor more suitable for urban combat than crowd control. Whatever the Mandalorians' intentions, they seem determined to present an ominous front, as they have brought in a veteran commander with a reputation for ferocity.
Maudie glanced over at Till, waiting for the nod that would indicate the vidcam was now focused on Rahl, and saw Shota approaching with a small parabolic mic that she could use to capture Rahl's words. Normally, journalistic ethics would prohibit eavesdropping on a subject without his knowledge. But since Rahl was in a public forum, obviously preparing to make a public statement, an exception could be made. She nodded her thanks to Shota and pointed it out the window at Rahl. When Till nodded that he was ready, Maudie continued.
This is Commander Belloc Rahl. No stranger to our news audience, he was in command of Mandalorian forces during the siege of the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Chief of State Dala had personally charged him with persuading the Jedi to turn over Jedi Knights Sathaya Saar and Toriel Tomic, who were then suffering from the mysterious psychosis that had been plaguing Jedi Knights at that point. It remains unclear whether his authorization included a dispensation to commit murder, as only a handful of government officials know the full extent of his orders. But one thing is beyond debate. Belloc Rahl is the man who killed a teenage girl named Connie Asari on the steps of the Jedi Temple, in cold blood and in full view of the Coruscant media, just to make a point. And his presence here sends a chilling message.
Rahl's gaze finally settled on an Octusi elder with a wrinkled face and gray fur, and he began to say something that Maudie could not quite make out from her hiding place.
And I think we're about to hear exactly what that message is.
She lowered her voice to a dramatic whisper.
Let's listen.